start this morning with these words, and don't jump to any conclusions here, but in the 1980s, there was a government advertising campaign to warn people about the dangers of sexual promiscuity and the spread of HIV and the AIDS. And the banner heads and the warning leaflets declared, "Don't die of ignorance." Now, before anybody can, you know, sort of say this was just for one category of people in the society, it wasn't. Because these leaflets were posted through everybody's door. If you can remember, they were like dark thing with a gravestone, "Don't die of ignorance." Well, this morning, I want to begin our series for August with a word to Christians and unbelievers alike. Don't die of ignorance. Now, we're moving to the next stage in our talks as we leave behind Approaching a Holy God series. And we ended with approaching others with God's good news. And we learned that we have the authority of Jesus and have the Holy Spirit to help us bring our beautiful feet to the divine appointments the Lord has for us and to tell others about Jesus. And we're going to spend the next 4 weeks looking at what makes our ability to serve the Lord difficult and how can we actually deal with this. Now, we're only going to touch on this subject over the next 4 weeks, skimming the surface of it. This is a serious, serious subject that you could spend years concentrating on. We're only going to touch on it over these next 4 weeks about spiritual warfare and what that actually means. So we will be looking at knowing what spiritual warfare is, knowing your enemy, knowing your weapons, and knowing your God. So this morning, I'm beginning this series on spiritual warfare, and I'm asking us all to really be praying, because I don't want somebody coming to me tonight and tell me I'm going under a real attack. I don't want to hear about it. You're being warned, we are entering into a new phase, which is about spiritual warfare, and we're going to tell you this is what God's word says you need to do. Don't expect me to bail you out if I'm going through it at the same time. Now, yes, you will see there is a need at times when we come together to pray, but God is saying there is a responsibility with us, and you'll see why as we go through this. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 12, John writes these words. "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Now, flick over to Ephesians chapter 6. And the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." When we seek to follow the Lord, when seeking to follow Jesus' command to go into all the world and make disciples, Christians will often face stumbling blocks and problems preventing him or her from fulfilling their ministry and their mission. Unless we have a basic understanding of spiritual warfare and we know what it is, we will not know how to overcome some of the opposition we face as we go out to help the Lord bring in the sheaves. And a good starting point to learn about spiritual warfare is to understand that God's word clearly teaches, as I've read this morning, there is a devil and a host of demons and evil spirits. Now, I have to say to you, personally, I did not believe in Satan when I first came to know the Lord. I couldn't imagine this wee small red devil with a big tail and a fork on the end of it, carrying a pitchfork, you know, with wee horns on his head. I just couldn't imagine, you know, this wee devil coming to tell me how to live my life and what to do. Satan was just a nonsense to me. But God showed me differently. In fact, it was a year yesterday. On the 5th of August, 1985. It was a year and a day after I had become a Christian. And I'm going to tell you what happened. And I'm only going to tell you it. I'm not going to try to explain it. I couldn't believe in a Satan. Anytime I read it in the Bible, just nah. Load of old nonsense. All the badness is just inside of us. That's the adversary. And I was lying in my bed with my curtains were wide open. It was in the summertime, 5th of August, 1985. I could see my bedroom door was always locked. I could look out and see out from my bed, out across the trees where I lived. And I could see my 20 Regal King ordinary size and a box of red matches sitting on my wee dressing table. I could see, so I was perfectly awake, saw them all sitting there at the time. I was smoking for about a year after I became a Christian. And I'd woken up and I thought, a bit strange. And I remember it was 10 past 5 in the morning. And nothing strange, but I thought, well, I'm not getting up at this time. And I rolled over onto my left-hand side, and I was lying on my left side when I felt the strangest sensation. I was lying on my right side when I felt the strangest sensation on my left ear. Really weird sensation. And I sort of sat up and looked to say, what was that? And I couldn't see anything in the room. I thought, that was really weird. It was as if somebody was holding a burning match close to my ear, but I could nearly hear like this as it was burning. It was weird, but I thought nothing more of it. Looked around, there was nothing there. The door was locked, you know. Lay down to go back to sleep. When I sensed it again, and this time as I moved, jumped up quick and turned round, there was nothing in my room. Think I'm a mental, whatever. The next thing that happened was the most evil, hate-filled voice started to scream all of these obscenities at me as I'm lying in my bed. And I could see the mirror of my dressing table, and I thought, I'm going to be going white and dying of a heart attack here. I was actually going to think, I'm going to see myself dying in this mirror with the fear that had just suddenly come upon me as this thing was screaming, and I could feel the air of it hitting me in the face as it was hurling abuse at me. And I froze so badly, I couldn't make a move. I could feel my whole bed shaking. I couldn't personally move. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even get a word out to scream for help. I was so terrified, so fear-struck, I didn't know what to do. And I just lay there thinking, I'm going to die. And suddenly, I don't know where the strength came from. Now I know God, but at that time, I didn't know where the strength came from. And all I could do was cry out, Jesus, Jesus! And it stopped. It took me 3 months to learn how to go to sleep again at nighttime. I refused to go to bed at night. We started an outreach campaign, myself and Chris Barr, from 10:30 at night until 4:00 in the morning, because I was not going into that bedroom at nighttime again. I was so terrified. I went to a doctor friend of mine, and I said to the doctor, I'm really scared. Something has happened to me. And he says, what happened? And I explained, and he says to me, that's satanic. And I went, what? And he says, that's the devil. And I burst into tears. Now, the person prayed for me, but I burst into tears. And then the tears turned into anger. I was really angry with God. Who the hell did he think he was allowing that to happen to me? And I was screaming at God, how could you have done this? I love you. I have been faithful to you. How could you allow this to happen to me? I was really angry, like really, because this terrified me. I will never forget this till the day that I die. And the Lord said to me, you believe in Satan now, don't you? Well, why did you do that? And God says, because I'm going to show you what to do if it ever happens again. And he started to show me from his word the reality of Satan, the reality of the devil, the enemy, and what to do if it happened again. Christian, you have a fierce, evil, hate-filled enemy that will do anything to destroy you and try to prevent you or thwart God's will and purpose for your life. Are you fulfilling God's purpose for your life? Please do not underestimate what I am telling you this morning. Satan hates you with every bit of his being. There is not the slightest bit of compassion. There is not the slightest bit of mercy. There is not the slightest bit of love. There's not the thought, oh, I'll just give them a wee break now because I've been doing too much. He will do everything in his power to kill you. That is what he wants. That is his ultimate goal. You are only alive today because God has protected you from him. That is it. You need to understand it is the grace of Almighty God that he covers you with the shadow of his wings. Do you hear that, Christian? You have a fierce, evil, hate-filled enemy that will do anything, absolutely anything, to destroy you and to prevent you from fulfilling God's purpose for your life. But let me say a word to the unbeliever. That same enemy of the Christian is your enemy, but you are under his control, and he probably has you duped into not even believing that he exists. Jesus said Satan is a liar and the father of lies. He will do anything in his power to prevent you, dupe you, and prevent you from ever becoming a Christian because he wants to see you dead and in hell. And by doing so, he wants to rob God of glory. So listen, please, Christian and unbeliever. If you don't believe what I have told you, you've already lost a major battle. Do you understand? If you do not believe that Satan exists, if you do not believe that Satan wants you dead, you have already lost a major battle. But thanks be to God, all is not lost. Satan may win the battle, but he cannot win the war. To help us to get to know what spiritual warfare is, we need to begin by understanding what it is not. Spiritual warfare is not Christians standing venomously opposing gay pride in Belfast. And I've watched stuff like that. I have watched Christians venomously, you know, firing scriptures at people who are walking past, whether it's in gay pride. I have watched them with hate-filled faces towards people going into abortion clinics. That's not spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is also not blaming Satan and his evil spirits for actions and attitudes that undoubtedly belong to us. You see, Christians often blame Satan and demons for things that Satan and demons haven't done, so that they, the Christians, can get away with whatever they're doing. I'll just blame Satan. Satan made me do this. Or I think I have an evil spirit that keeps making me stumble in this or that area, when they know it's their responsibility. Now, don't get me wrong. Christians can struggle, and Christians can be under the influence of demonic forces. Christians may need deliverance from certain things, but I'm talking about Christians who blame Satan when it's not Satan who is to blame. Don't get me wrong. Satan and demons have a large part to play in opposing God's word and will in our lives. But that is not an excuse for us to pass the buck when the responsibility solely rests with us. For example, if an alcoholic commits a crime, they can plead with the local magistrate that alcohol had a large part to play in their actions. The magistrate might even accept a plea of diminished responsibility, but they still bear some responsibility for their actions. And so it is with Christians. We can't plead diminished responsibility because Satan tempts us. A large measure of responsibility rests with us for our actions. Spiritual warfare is not about passing the buck. In fact, very often, a victory comes when we wholeheartedly accept our responsibility for certain actions and attitudes and deal with them before God and with His help. Neither is spiritual warfare necessarily about blaming other people, even though others may be opposing us. See, what we need to realize is that very often there's a spiritual influence at work behind people's opposition to us and God's will. And this is clearly seen if you read in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was told by God to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And no sooner had he arrived than they started to build it when a guy called Sanballat and his mate Tobiah immediately did everything they possibly could to prevent that wall from being built. Now, it was God's desire, go Nehemiah and build the walls. Nehemiah goes to build the walls and Sanballat and Tobiah immediately cause a resistance and cause the work to stop. Now, Satan was behind that. And very often, for us as Christians, when we're going to do something that God asks us to do, people may oppose us. But we've got to look beyond the person and see Satan at work. Neither is spiritual warfare about using Christian cliches and plucked out cherry-picked Bible verses to bind Satan and his evil host, or to rhyme off verses in a way that makes us think we have Satan on the run. We don't have Satan on the run. Angels fear to tread even in those areas. We've got to be clear that opposition to the will of God and to the work of God, whether it comes by human being or other means, behind that there is a spiritual influence, an evil influence. So when we face people coming against us, we need to be praying that God will open up their eyes and help them to see. So what is meant by spiritual warfare? I'm going to have to fly through this. Well, in its simplest form, spiritual warfare is the constant daily battle. You hear that? It is a constant daily battle between good and evil, between God and Satan, between Christians and the world system ruled by what the Bible calls principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies. Spiritual warfare includes the Christian's war against the lusts of their own flesh and the work of the Holy Spirit in us as He seeks to transform us from glory to glory. To put it frankly, we've been born again into a battle which is fiercely raging in the heavenlies and causes wars, earthly wars and battles to pale in comparison. If God could open our eyes to let us see into the heavenlies, you would be horrified at what is taking place. The American evangelist Billy Graham said, "We Christians live in a perpetual battlefield." Now, I don't know if any of you noticed this week. This week, there's been a lot of commemoration about the Battle of Passchendaele. And I don't know if any of you actually saw images on the news of what a battlefield and the horrors of a battlefield could really be like. Like some of the horses at the Battle of Passchendaele, the horses were up to their neck in mud and blood and everything, and they were trying to pull guns and all through this battlefield, and people were having their heads blew off as they were trying to rescue others, and there was blood and crap everywhere, and it was absolutely terrible place. It was, I suppose, an image of hell on earth. And yet, Billy Graham says that we Christians live in a perpetual battlefield. Jessie Penn Lewis, the Welsh evangelical speaker, said in her book, War on the Saints, "Truth of every kind makes free, while lies bind up in bonds." Then she says this, "Ignorance also binds up because it gives ground to Satan. The devil's great purpose, and for which he fights, is to keep the world in ignorance of him, his ways, and his colleagues. Spiritual warfare is when the Lord works to accomplish His will and purposes in the world, in circumstances, in individuals, in us. Then Satan and his host work to oppose it. Satan opposes God and the godly. This is the perpetual battle that every Christian is born again into. Spiritual warfare is real. It is fierce. It is without mercy as far as Satan is concerned. And it is deadly. As Stephen alluded to in the thing about people killing themselves in their rooms because they struggle. I believe any person who commits suicide, whether they are a believer or an unbeliever, I believe that they have done it because they've listened to the lies of the devil. That is how deadly spiritual warfare is. They listen to the lies of the devil. Now, getting back to my own experience in my room on the 5th of August 1985, in my foolish ignorance, I didn't believe in Satan and considered all evil to come from within a person. I look back and I think now, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for graciously showing me otherwise. Thank you, Lord, that you have taught me from your word that Satan is real. Demons are real, and there is a real spiritual battle taking place. The point I want to make is this. If God didn't reveal to us in his word the truth about spiritual warfare, we would all still be in complete ignorance, and Satan would be taking ground and winning battle after battle after battle. But God has revealed the reality of the warfare in which we live and fight. And he has given us his Holy Spirit to teach us about the enemy and to equip us for the battle. Christian, do you understand you have been born again into a battle? Do you realize the intensity of the warfare and what it's all about? Satan wants you dead. Do you believe in Satan and his opposition to God's will and purpose for your life? Do you recognize your enemy and his wicked, deceitful schemes against you as you seek to serve the Lord? Do you know he opposes you by attacking your mind? If you can answer yes to these questions, then you have an insight into the truth that you are not just a child of God, but you are born again into the army of the Lord, and you are being trained as a soldier of Christ. Soldiers are equipped and trained for battle. But one vital component to every soldier's military service is their absolute need to know who their enemy is. And next week, I'll be following that up with knowing your enemy. Spiritual warfare is real, it is fierce, and it is deadly. We live, Christian, in a perpetual battlefield. The devil's great purpose, and for which he fights, is to keep the world in ignorance of himself, his ways, and his colleagues, all to rob God of glory. Please, Christian, listen to me. Don't die of ignorance. Maybe someone this morning listening to the podcast isn't yet a Christian. I need to tell you that outside of Christ, you remain under the rule and the reign of the God of this world, Satan. Don't let Satan deceive you into an eternity in hell. Don't die of ignorance. Repent, change your mind, change the way you're living, turn around and come to God believing in Jesus so that you can become a child of God and a soldier of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for your word this morning. Lord, as we go into this month, please protect us even more, Lord, than you normally do. Because, Lord, if we were not under the shadow of your wing, Satan would wipe us out. And yet every one of us in this wee place here, Lord God, can speak of times when the enemy has come against us. And he's taken some of us, Lord, even to the point of almost committing suicide. Because we believed his lies. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you please to protect us. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you would hide us deep within yourself. That you would be a shield about us. That you would uphold us. That you would teach us, Lord, how to resist the evil one. How to do battle against the enemy. That you would show us who our true enemy really is. Lord, please, in Jesus' name, help us not to give credence to the devil. Not to spend our time, Lord God, thinking about him. But, Lord, to focus on you. And so as we go through this month, Lord God, looking at spiritual warfare, teach us all about you and how, Lord God, you have provided for us a means, Lord God, of overcoming the enemy. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll stand to sing our last song.